The Holy Spirit, the Holy Gospel, I should say, according to St. John, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Sven and Oli died and went to hell, and the devil stopped by to see how his new guests were faring. And what the devil found was that Sven and Oli weren't complaining at all, but they were having a great time, actually, down there. And they said, "Well, you know, Satan, don't you know, we're from Minnesota where it's awful cold up there. So this heat just feels pretty nice to us. We kind of like it down here." So what does the devil do? He goes to the thermostat and cranks it up a little bit, makes it a little bit warmer down there. And to his dismay, he comes back a little while later, and Sven and Oli, they're laying out in beach chairs, and they've got a nice tropical beverage. They said, "What is going on?" And they said, "Well, don't you know, we're from Minnesota. We're used to being covered in ice. This is great. I feel like we're on a getaway." So again, Sven and Oli, unbothered by it all, they're Minnesotans, they're hardy. The devil gets an idea. He says, "Ah, I see, I'm working with Minnesotans here. I need to turn it all the way cold." So he goes to the thermostat, cranks up the AC, turns it all the way cold as it gets. And a little while later, the devil comes back and he sees Sven and Oli shivering in the freezing landscape in the cold, but they're cheering and high-fiving one another now. And he goes up to them. He says, "Now, what is going on? What are you celebrating?" And Sven and Oli said, "Well, back where we're from, we always said when hell freezes over, the Minnesota Vikings will win a Super Bowl. So we're celebrating for the folks back home." It has been cold outside. It is cold outside. We are to that stretch of winter that most of us dread. Now, some of you, I know, love this dead of winter time. You snowshoers and cross-country skiers and ice fishers out there. But even you have to admit, this is enough now. The feels like temperature is something 25 below, I think, on the way in this morning. It's very cold. Even the hardcore among us, I think, have had enough. Most of us are to that point where we're just wishing it was all over already. And you see, that is the problem. We shouldn't ever wish our lives away. These are the moments. These are the days of our lives. We should not push past them to get to this someday future that might be some future that is not guaranteed to any of us. And at the same time, we also shouldn't spend our days dreaming of the days gone by, thinking of those golden years when things were great, right? Missing the great in the now. You can get lost in all of this if you don't remember to stay here right now in the moment. There's this great song called "Keep Me in the Moment" by Jeremy Camp. I don't know if anybody's heard this song. I often walk in on Kelson the kids singing and dancing around to this song in the kitchen on Sundays when I get home from church. And, you know, the beauty of music is, of course, it's an earworm. It gets stuck in your head. And my kids will go around for the rest of the week singing the song and humming the tune. And it's a great reminder because I often, too, find myself daydreaming of the future, wishing to get past a tough stage, through growing pains, through the dark, cold days of winter. And this reminder to be kept in the moment helps keep me grounded. My favorite part of the song goes like this. O Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with eyes wide open, because I don't want to miss what you have for me. O Lord, show me what matters. Throw away the things I'm chasing after, because I don't want to miss what you have for me. And that is the heart of what our gospel, I believe, is all about this morning. It's about timing, and it's about living in the now. A little background about the world in Jesus' day and wedding celebrations. Wedding celebrations in Jesus' day would traditionally last 7 days, a full week, a week-long celebration of the bride and groom and the union of this family. And an often overlooked detail of our gospel story is that this story of Jesus turning water to wine happens on the third day of celebration. If you're the host, you'd probably be thinking to yourself, what's the big deal to run out of wine on day three? Because you've supplied them with 3 days worth of wine to drink, right? Could you imagine the bill? That's enough. I've supplied you for 3 days of celebration. What else do you want from me? But in Jesus' day, to run out of wine wasn't just a sign that your party was cheap on the vino. It was more than just a little faux pas. Wine is a sign of God's favor. It's a sign of a bountiful harvest. It's a sign of abundance and joy and blessing. The prophets in the Old Testament often use these images of wine and vineyards to describe the coming Messiah. When the Savior comes, the wine will flow, abundance will follow, and God will be in favor of us, finally. And we still use wine like this to this day. When we gather together for communion, we share the body and blood of Christ. In this meal we share, wine flows, bread and wine, and it's a symbol of God's love for us and abundance and joy. And we can taste and see that the Lord is good, real and physical before us. So to run out of wine means to run out of God's blessing. They couldn't make a quick trip out to Total Wine or something like that. They were a little bit stuck at that point. You just can't run out on day three. We got 4 more days of partying happening. The timing is all wrong. The moment is off. Mary knew that this was a disaster. Mary, a little stressed and embarrassed, says, "They have no wine." But Jesus responds rather pointedly, "What concern is this to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." My hour has not yet come. The timing is not right. This is not the moment. But Mary, like any good mother, is exceedingly patient, knows her son, and understands fully what will happen next. And she responds to the servant by saying, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Mary, of course, like any mother, is right in the end and knows what would happen. Jesus says that the 6 jars are to be filled with 20 to 30 gallons each of water. That's roughly 150 gallons. And when the dipper is plunged into that big jar of water, what the steward finds is that the water has been changed into wine. But not only that, it's not just wine, it's the best wine, exceptionally, exceptionally good. And what's unique about that? Well, as he says, you would typically begin the celebration with the good stuff because your guest's palate will dull over time. You don't end with the good stuff, you start with the good stuff. They knew this even in Jesus' day. Many hosts would bring out cheaper and cheaper vintages as the 7-day celebration went on, but the steward noticed the difference, the increased quality, and says everybody serves the good wine first and the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have saved the best until now. And this is the connection. This is the important reminder for us, because I think there's this impulse for us to think that the best is behind us. The golden age is long, long ago. We look with rose-colored glasses into the past, thinking things were all great back then. We had it all figured out, and now the best is just behind us. Or just the opposite. You get too focused on this rosy, perfect future that might be someday, and oh, if only I could get there, then I'll be enough, then I'll have enough, then it will be enough. And you're missing out in the moment. And this can lead to deep feelings of hopelessness. In her book, Intrinsic Hope, by Kate Davies, she outlines a number of ways and practices that we can use to find hope and cultivate hope in our life. And one of the ways we can do this practically is to live our lives in the present, to stay in the moment, to ground ourselves 10 toes down in the here and now. Not thinking too wistfully into the past, not looking too longingly into the future that someday will be, but root yourself in the present. And that is the good news that Jesus brings to us today from the Gospel of John. The good stuff, the finest wine, has been saved for now. This is God's time. The hour that Jesus speaks of throughout the Gospel of John is now. The glory of God radiates through all that we say and we do, or the things that we don't say and don't do, in the here and the now. And we've got work to do for those who need God's presence among them today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Church, we can be that good wine saved for now, saved for this moment. This moment when the world, more than ever it seems, needs us to be the hands and feet of Christ. Needs us to be a loving presence, a force for good in this very dark, very cold world. The time is now. And although we may be tempted to focus our energy on the glorious past or the glories and dreams of days yet to come, true hope is found in the roots of being present in the here and the now, in the moment, so we can create the world together, that world that we seek and we hope for. We can do that. And we pray that God keeps us in the moment, because God has always saved the best for now. But we can only see it if we use this word from the gospel to illumine this truth for us. And thanks be to God for that message. Amen.